from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I'm literally like tweeting out sourced info as we start the show. Just learned the Bills are going to be releasing Ilyanku, defensive tackle. So I just tweeted that out. That's from me there, Josh. So here you go. You can say Arsal Capaccio. That's how it works on a day like today. What is going on today, man? Oh my gosh. It's a head spinning everywhere. Woo! Head on a swivel today is what you need. It's cut down day. And we know several players that have been released by the Buffalo Bills through different reports locally, nationally. We'll see where it ultimately ends up on the 53. And then what happens after that? Remember, as Jeremy made a great point this morning, it is not the actual final 53. It is the kind of sort of final 53, but you're really not on the 53 until we finalize everything over the next couple of days. It's a long way of saying, hey, once they get to the 53 today, there's going to be more moves in the next 24 hours based on waivers and claiming and players released and signing free agent contracts. So today, what do we know? Here's what I want to do. I want to open the phone lines today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. I'll get into yesterday. I had a great day yesterday. I'll tell you all about it in a little while, but wasn't with you yesterday as things were starting to happen. And I appreciate, as always, Josh and Zach. Were you on yesterday? You guys were on, right? Great job. Thank you. You guys are always amazing to be here on those days where I can't. But yesterday, the cuts started coming in. And we learned the Bills basically, you know, a couple days ago tweeted out all the different, you know, several different moves they were making already. So they said right there, these are our seven guys, couple on IR. From then, we started to learn a little bit more yesterday around the league. There was really nothing with the Bills yesterday. Today's a little bit different. Today you're starting to get all of these cuts coming in locally, nationally, like I said. Want to open the phone lines to you to ask you where your head is at with all of it. And this is an open-ended question today on the Extra Point Show. What I mean is, like, what are you concerned about? What do you like? What are you confused about? Anything. You don't like what they're doing at wide receiver. You like what they're doing at linebacker. Whatever it is. You have a question, the mechanics of it. I just want to give it open-ended here for the first segment. And then at 10:30, my buddy Matt Perino is going to join me, Syracuse.com Shout Podcast as well, with Ryan Talbot. He comes aboard at 10:30. At 11 a.m., Evan Lazar, who covers the Patriots, and we'll get to some league matters, but I thought we'd check in with him based on what happened this weekend and that preseason game. When did the Patriots play? Last night? Was it yesterday? Against the Commanders?
Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, remember, and Jacoby Brissett got hurt, and Drake May looked good. So we're going to get with Evan Lazar.
Martavis Bryant had a touchdown, his first touchdown in, I think, 7 years.
There you go. Yeah. I like that. Good for
him.
Not
for the Patriots, but.
Yeah, good for him. We'll get with Evan Lazar at 11 o'clock. Matt Perino at 10:30. But 803-0550 is the number to call. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Okay. 803-0550 is the number. What do you think about what's happened so far? Let me recap a few of the things that have happened. And let's do it this way, too. Maybe if Josh sees a report, he can ding us in some way. Ding, ding. Somebody getting released. Ding, ding. Someone getting waived. We can do that today. I would say this. here's where I want to start. The biggest question and concern even and wonderment for the Buffalo Bills heading into this offseason was wide receiver. Today, because we've learned that the team is waiving Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, we are back to the biggest concern, curiosity, wonderment as far as a position is concerned. Now, we have the Joe Andreessen story, right? Joe Andreessen at linebacker, is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? I think he does, but who knows? That's certainly front and center on a lot of Buffalo Bills fans' minds. But I think the biggest position for the Buffalo Bills that's interesting right now is wide receiver. And as it rolls along today. And it really has been since April, right? Since the day they traded Stephon Diggs. Maybe even before that. I mean, I guess Gabe Davis leaving in free agency started it. And then Stephon Diggs gets traded right after that. And now we're back to what are they doing? So what does it mean for both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter to be released? Now, of course, these are, according to reports, has not been confirmed by the team yet. Let's start with Tyrell Shavers. I had him on my 53, my projected 53-man roster. I don't know many who didn't. It just, again, I want to explain how these work. Which is, when I do a projected 53, when someone else in the media does a projected 53, it's not, and it shouldn't be, who you think is the better player making the team. Like, hey, this is the better player. They should keep him. This is what I saw. You're not the evaluator. I'm not the evaluator of the talent. That's Brandon Bean and his staff and the coaching staff's job. My job to give you a projected 53 is to tell you what I think they're going to do based on what we've seen as far as reps are concerned, how they've handled that player. And yes, some of it baked in is making plays, right? We know that too. So when I put Tyrell Shavers on my 53, that's because ever since camp started, the week of, the first few days of, Tyrell Shavers was always in that mix in the top five or six. Generally top six and even top five at times. And you know they're going to keep at least five wide receivers. They could keep six. So he was always in my top group. Then come the injuries to Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Curtis Samuel. Now he's even more firm in that top five slash six. So I really was surprised when I think it was Jeremy Fowler who tweeted out this morning that Tyrell Shavers was going to be released by the Bills and not make it. That came as a surprise to me because I thought he, based on what I've seen, how they've handled him, the reps he's taking, where he's playing, when he's playing, to me, that was a guy that was making the team. Was he outstanding and making play after play? No. He was consistent. But again, this is not about, oh my God, I think he's amazing. He should make the team. That's not what it is. It's here's how they're doing it. That's what I see them doing. That's what I project them doing. But he didn't have like some awesome preseason. He didn't have amazing play after play every day in camp. Keon Coleman had a few of those. He just was consistent and he was out there a lot. So I was surprised by that. All right, so once I heard that, I said, okay, well, what are you doing now? Let's try to, it's a big puzzle, right? That's the cool part about today. Roster building, the puzzle that gets put together. Like, well, why would they do that with Tyrell Shavers? Okay, well, there's a couple of reasons that you could do it and reason why. Number one, maybe they're just going with five wide receivers. Because listen, Daquan Hardy, the punt returner, the defensive back, appears to be the guy who's won that job. He's going to be the punt returner for this team, Daquan Hardy. That's what it appears. So if Daquan Hardy is your punt returner, you don't really need someone to do that from the wide receiver spot. And not that Tyrell Shavers is a punt returner. He's not. But if you needed to keep another wide receiver for punt return, then you might have to go six because you don't want that guy necessarily playing extra reps at wide receiver. It's like I said, it's not a perfect science. It's a puzzle. But I think Daquan Hardy making the roster, which it appears that he will do that, we'll see, would have a direct impact on what they do at wide receiver, because you have KJ Hamler, you have Andy Isabella, and who is actually the punt returner, and then how that affects the numbers at the position. But that's number one. Number two, so I say maybe they just keep five. Or was it that KJ Hamler or Justin Shorter or Andy Isabella actually made the roster? Or Deion Cain? How about Deion Cain and his game last week? Deion Cain looked really good. Like, did Deion Cain just show up a week and a half ago and suddenly make the Buffalo Bills? It's possible after what we saw. We know now, though, it's not Justin Shorter. That also was reported. I had been saying for a couple of weeks, maybe about a week or so, that Justin Shorter was making a late push. Fifth round pick from a year ago, was on IR all last year, did not play. You know they don't want to necessarily divest themselves from a fifth round pick. Gave him every opportunity in training camp this year. And it looks like, apparently, according to reports, he's not going to be a part of their 53-man roster. So as I tweeted out, hey, maybe it's Justin Shorter. He was making a late push. And then literally 10 minutes later, Justin Shorter's released. So scratch that. I got it wrong. Not that got it wrong, just that wasn't it. That part wasn't it. And so that gets you, that's no more Justin Shorter. What about Deion Cain? Deion Cain has some juice after what happened this past week. I mean, run after the catch, right? I mean, he was very good with that. Going to try and see Deion Cain here. I don't want to make sure on Deion Cain. I don't think he did a lot of punt returning. He's not a punt returner, kick returner. Yeah, it wouldn't be the reason you'd keep him. But to me, I'm looking at a guy like KJ Hamler now. Like, did KJ Hamler do enough in that final game, playing running back, showing that he has that speed, the willingness and ability to kind of just, hey, do whatever the coach asks. And oh, by the way, insurance as a punt returner, maybe even the main punt returner. Maybe you go into the season and you say, here's Daquan Hardy, my punt returner, and I have KJ Hamler, and they're going to battle it out. That could happen too, because I'll tell you, even though Daquan Hardy looks like he's going to make the team as that guy, I still wonder if the Bills really super trust him to field punts on a windy day in November in that stadium. Heck, a windy day in September could be windy in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So maybe you need KJ Hamler on this team, because he offers something the other receivers just don't really have. Straight line burning speed. So maybe that's where you go. By the way, Josh, I was saying earlier, if you see any reports of anybody with the Bills, hit a bell or something for me. Ding, ding. Because I'm doing the show here, and I can't kind of be on top of it all, so I'm trying to do that as best I can, and then we'll do our best to kind of get that out there as soon as possible. So, the other guy would be Andy Isabella. The thing about Isabella, though, is it doesn't get me to go, yeah, that would be the guy they would keep. If they were to keep six, Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, Hollins, MVS, and I'll get to this group in a second a little bit more. But if you were going to keep six, and Andy Isabella is the other one, I mean, he hasn't had the opportunity, really. He's done some kick returns, but not punt returns in camp and preseason as much, in preseason and games. So that kind of gets me off of that it would be him. The other thing that the Shorter and Shavers releases do is get you closer to more of a comfort of Curtis Samuel and Marquez Valdes-Scantling being ready to play week one. Which Sean McDermott did say last week that everybody, except Matt Milano, of course, who's been injured here, has the chance to be ready week one. So that gets me to, okay, looks like MVS and Curtis Samuel on this team ready week one. Now, you can argue all you want that MVS shouldn't be on the team. I can understand that argument. I've gotten it from a lot of people. But again, this isn't what you, the Extra Point listener, would do because of your evaluation, or me, Sal Capaccio, do what I would do because of my evaluation. We can all have those opinions. The job is to figure out what the Bills are going to do, because they're the evaluators and how they've treated it and how they handle it, and the money comes into play and all of those other things. Speaking of money, both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter are subject to waivers. What does that mean? That means as of 4 p.m. today, they go into the waiver pool. There's this whole list of all these guys who haven't been in the league for 4 years. They get released. Any team can say, I'm claiming that player. You're mine. Only one can get the player, of course. That's a waiver priority. It goes in the order of last year's draft. So anybody who's, you know, any team can just say, we want that player. And that player becomes their property. And the Bills then can't get that person on the practice squad because they're on another team. If the player clears waivers, you can bring him back to the practice squad, which I believe that Shavers and Shorter would both be candidates for. But you only have 17 of those, 16 normally. Bills have an exemption for Travis Clayton, although he's been hurt lately. We'll see, you know, where that goes. But I think wide receiver has been the most interesting position here with the Buffalo Bills as today has rolled on. Backup quarterback. We know now through reports, Ben DiNucci being released. Anthony Brown was officially released by the club a couple days ago. That leaves two healthy quarterbacks on this squad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say healthy. That leaves two quarterbacks on this squad. Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. And we know Mitch Trubisky is not in a good place to play a game right now, right? I mean, the way he's been limping around and he hasn't been even in uniform doing any rehab. What does that look like, though, next week leading into week one against the Arizona Cardinals? Let's remember, just if Mitch Trubisky could be healthy enough to play against the Arizona Cardinals, but is he healthy enough to even practice leading up to it for the game plan to take reps? Those are things the Bills have to decide. It's not just if he's ready for week one. It's if he's ready to practice week one, if he's ready to actually take the reps to understand the defense, because, you know, God forbid something happens to Josh Allen, even for a couple of series, and Mitch Trubisky has to go in. He has to know the game plan. He has to know what, he has to be ready. It's not just, hey, I can put him out there and take a few snaps on a Sunday afternoon. It's not how it works. And I have serious doubt if that's the case, but there is a way to work around this. You don't have to put Mitch Trubisky on injured reserve and lose him for 4 weeks. And this is, my sense is, this is probably how it goes down. I don't know. That the Bills will probably bring Ben DiNucci back to the practice squad or another player. They claim a guy, and then he has to go on the 53, so that's going to be tough. But you go out and sign a guy to put on your practice squad after they clear waivers. You don't have to claim him. Wait till they clear waivers, or it's a veteran. You put him on your practice squad. So that player's in your practice squad. Then Mitch Trubisky's just your backup quarterback. He's on your 53. Oh, Mitch isn't healthy enough to play week one? All you got to do is elevate that third quarterback. And in this case, to me, it would have to be Ben DiNucci, or it doesn't have to be, but it should be Ben DiNucci because he's been here. He knows the offense. I mean, that player, whoever QB3 is, this is the better way to say it maybe for you. Whoever QB3 is, who's going to be on the practice squad, might actually have to be the backup week one. The legit backup on the roster. And if that's the case, I don't think you can have somebody come in here and just have 2 days of practice. Now, other players have gone elsewhere and performed in those situations. Heck, didn't Baker Mayfield, Josh, go to the Rams and actually win a game after being on the team for like 3 days?
Yeah, three or four days after getting traded there.
And then wasn't that guy, same thing happened with Minnesota. What was it? Who was it? Was it
Josh Dobbs?
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and he won, I think, two or three games in a row and was pretty successful in all the games he played. He didn't win them all, but still, going in there and just performing. I remember players were talking about how he came in and just showed this kind of elite leadership, if you want to call it that. It was kind of a weird thing that happened because it was a random backup quarterback that just goes in and balls out pretty much.
Yeah. So it's possible, right? You could have a guy go in and 2-3 days notice, go and play and be fine. But I would think the Bills would want somebody. And I think they like DiNucci and what he's done, actually, to be quite honest with you. Like, I don't think DiNucci didn't go out there and just throw up all over himself. Like, he actually acclimated himself pretty well, right? He looked okay. So I think the Bills are probably pretty comfortable with having Ben DiNucci as your QB3. And he was out there late in the process. It's not like teams were clamoring for him. So here's my guess on how this is going to go down. They'll carry Mitch Trubisky on the 53. They'll sign a backup quarterback, a number three quarterback, to be on the practice squad. And then week number one, they elevate that quarterback. He basically takes all the reps as QB2. And then you evaluate Trubisky for week two, which unfortunately is only 5 days later. So that's backup quarterback. Okay. So now, what's the next position we get to? Corner. I just told you about Daquan Hardy. I think Daquan Hardy's on this team. Here's the really, really interesting thing about corner for me right now, okay? Again, I'm just kind of, you know, talking out loud here. I don't know, so please don't take it as, oh, Sal said they're going to do this. I don't know, but I'm wondering why they trained him so much on the outside when everyone kind of said he's just a slot guy. Well, there's a simple explanation, which is, hey, we think he can play outside, and we need the more depth you can have there, the better, which is great. I wonder if that means anything for Kyrie Elam. Jamarcus Ingram, to me, and you guys, anybody who listens to this show knows, like, I am the number one Jamarcus Ingram fan here in over the last 2 years, telling everybody he can play. Jamarcus can play. I've said that for 2 years, and it is coming to fruition, so thank you, Jamarcus, for proving me right, because I can't see any scenario he's not on the 53. That would be a stunner to me. And he's gotten better, not only every year, but every week, it seems like, here in the preseason. Has he even passed Kyrie Elam for number three? Because it's not like Kyrie had a bad... contrary, Kyrie Elam, we were talking about, is he pushing Christian Benford? He never really was, I don't think. But he's kind of plateaued here over the last few weeks, and here comes Jamarcus Ingram. So let's just say it's 3-4, 4-3, it doesn't matter. Daquan Hardy being trained on the outside gives you a little more flexibility there. And because Kyrie just hasn't hit quite where you want him to, are they looking at, we can have a depth piece who's he making the team because he's a punt returner, but we've trained him there. And numbers-wise, maybe we can, you know, look into trading Kyrie Elam. Not that they want to do that, right? But I wonder what the reasoning is. It literally could just be because they just want more flexibility, and that's fine. And we're just trying to do all the conspiracy theory stuff here or read way too much into it. But Hardy, and part of the reason would be you don't need Hardy to play the nickel, right? Because you have Taron Johnson, and then your backup nickel is Cam Lewis. So he'd be third in that depth chart. So make him a flexible guy. You know he can play nickel. He's done it in college. Put him on the outside a little bit, train him there. Then you have some nice flexibility, which is probably what the plan is and why they're doing it. If there's a guy on this team that no one's really talking about possibly making the 53, and I am not telling...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He's going to. I don't know. I would say it's very unlikely he's going to. But someone I'd be surprised but not totally stunned would be Tecorey Couch. Tecorey Couch is making plays in the preseason. And he's a nickel corner, and you could have him there. That's why maybe Daquan is more on the outside. You could have Cam Lewis freed up to play a little more safety. I just look at a guy like that and say, man, like that's a guy that kind of fits everything that they all the boxes. And it's tough. And he's made plays, and it's a tough position to get to know and learn. And he's been there, and he's done a good job in the preseason. Again, I'd be surprised if he made it. I wouldn't be completely stunned. Remember who's telling you that if it ever happens, okay? Tecorey Couch. Then we get to linebacker. So here's how it's got to work. First of all, I do think Joe Andreessen's going to make it, but Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, we know they're on the team. I think Eddie Ulofosio is going to be on the team. I don't see him not making it based on being a draft pick, the fact that he can play special teams. I think they like his, you know, his toughness and what he brings to the table. I think Nicholas Morrow's interesting. Nicholas Morrow's a veteran. You could release him. He has flexibility, sure. They love that. But you could bring him on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's necessarily going to be beaten on the door to sign him. Who knows? He's not subject to waivers. And that's why I think Joe Andreessen makes it. But that leaves out Baylen Spector. To me, Baylen Spector, there's too many questions about his availability at this point. And Joe has shown to be available and lining people up right. And he made a whole heck of a lot of plays against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he didn't play as great against the Carolina Panthers, but he didn't do anything other than a couple miscommunications on passing plays, which I do think, you know, were kind of a point of a product of maybe playing with different people against a first-team offense. I don't think you have to pin that on Joe necessarily, but I do think there were some communication issues there. Those are things that you look at. I think Joe Andreessen's done enough, and I just think Baylen Spector might be in a spot where maybe we see him get put on IR today as one of those two designated to returns. I've tried to explain the rules many times, but I'll try one more time so everybody's clear on this. Today, anybody who goes on injured reserve is out for the season because they didn't make the 53 before 4 p.m. today. However, a new rule. The Bills can take two of those guys and say, we're designating them to return. So you could put Baylen Spector, Matt Milano, somebody else on IR today and say, out of this group of whatever guys is going on IR, whoever it is, two of them we are putting designated to return on them, which means they only have to miss four games. And then at some point in the season, you can bring them back. They also wouldn't count on the 53-man roster, which frees up two spots to keep other people. We know Milano's out long-term. If the Bills do that today, that at least allows them to bring him back in November, December, whatever. But he would count, and so would Baylen Spector or anybody else like this, as two of your eight total guys you get for the season. You get eight of these for the season. You can only do two today, but you get eight for the season. So if you do it today, you got to declare right away who they are. And that counts for, you know, two spots if you do two guys. As the season goes on, you don't have to declare right away. You just have to say, you know, he's ready to come back and we're going to put him out there. All right, we're going to take a timeout. Matt Perino is going to join us from Syracuse.com. We have Evan Lazar, covers the Patriots. He's coming up at the top of the hour. Questions on whatever you have on the roster and the roster build. Matt Perino gives his thoughts after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good question coming in here. I'll answer. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brian tweets in at Sal Sports with the new rule regarding injured and designated to return. Does it now disallow the Reed Ferguson, you know, parking lot cut? Or is that an option still to keep additional people eligible? No, that's still allowed, Brian. Good question. You can still do it. You just don't need it as much, right? Because if you do it if you have more than, if you had more guys. Like, you can only use two guys for this IR designated to return today, the new rule. But if you have a third guy, you're like, well, we got to get this guy on the 53, and then we can put him on IR. You can do the quote-unquote Reed Ferguson parking lot cut. It's not allowed. It's just that you wouldn't have to do it necessarily. So hopefully that answers your question. Let's get to the Wester hotline right now. Our good buddy Matt Perino joins us from Syracuse.com, New York Upstate, and the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Good morning, buddy. It is a big day today. Any surprises for you so far from everything that we've learned through all of these reports?
I'm surprised with myself, right?
Why?
And a lot of us. Because the Tyrell Shavers,
yeah, me too,
like, vibes over the last couple of weeks, like, we should have kind of seen this coming. Like, he had such a strong start to the summer, and I think maybe we overreacted a little bit to Brandon Bean mentioning him specifically a couple times in the spring as a guy that kind of set up for a huge summer, and he was living up to it. I mean, he was a riser over the first week, like, so much so that while everybody was healthy, he was kind of getting worked in with the first team. So I think they wanted to take a look at that. Like, could he make some plays? How did he look on tape maybe against Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas? And maybe it just wasn't as good as you thought, because he was a, you know, guy in the third preseason game that got a huge opportunity. And who knows? I don't think it came down to that one play in the end zone, but we had a lot of talk about that on the show after the game. And it was just, it's a numbers game, right? Like, how many guys are going to be on the field at one time? What's the path to playing time? The Bills are potentially going to, you know, run a little bit more 12 personnel this year. Is a sixth receiver as valuable. And then what does that sixth receiver end up being? Like, KJ Hamler, for all intents and purposes, could have been doing a lot, like, behind the scenes, that have that it's showing them he's the guy that they wanted to mix, and he's got that extra versatility that he can return kicks in a pinch. So I think that, to me, is like the surprise, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. We kind of do this every year with one player. You know, last year it was, you know, Justin Shorter. The year before that, Isaiah Hodgins, who ironically is a free agent apparently again here coming up, or released on waivers once again. So I think that's the biggest surprise so far.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Hodgins. I want to bring him up to you. And so everybody's clear. Isaiah Hodgins actually has been in the league 4 years, but he only has three accrued seasons because of the way his career's gone. So he is subject to waivers. Any team can claim him. Could that be the Buffalo Bills, who drafted him and he just couldn't crack the 53? How do you see the receiver room shaping out now, Matt, thinking about both Shavers and Shorter gone? Are they going to keep five? Do they go get a Hodgins? Hey, I just read Allen Robinson was just waived, by the way, also by the New York Giants, actually released for him. Is there somebody out there that they're looking to make a play for, or is this just the five, or maybe one that's on the roster now, like a Hamler and Isabella?
You know, I think it probably could be any of those things. I think to start with, I think five wide receivers should have always been something we talked a little bit more about, and I think we actually did at one point on Shout, talking about, like, they need bodies on the offensive line. Like, everybody was really quick to want to cut Lyle Collins, and I talked about how kind of bad he looked in the spring. I thought he kind of trended a little bit upwards over the course of the summer, and he gives you, like, great versatility. I mean, a guy that could play at guard or tackle, even though it might not be as good as you want to see most of the time, it's still a guy that can do it in a pinch. And I think banking on a guy like a Tylan Grable, like, I think you want to keep him on your roster, and we'll see how this kind of thing ends up on the offensive line. But if you're forced to play a guy that's a former high school quarterback who's only been playing offensive line for a couple of years, has had some good moments in the preseason, I think people are high on the way that he's developing. If he ends up being your, you know, top swing guard tackle off the bench, are you comfortable with that? If you get a couple injuries on the offensive line, which the Bills didn't have to deal with last year because their starters played every snap of the season, then are you going to hand things over to a sixth-round rookie? I think Collins gives you that kind of experience. Well, the more guys you have like that, the Lyle Collins that are firmly on the bubble, I think the more you have to look to peel away at other spots. And I think at receiver, you just know that you have those top five guys, MVS included, who both him and Curtis Samuel seem to be on track to be available in week one or pretty close. So that gives the Bills some confidence to, okay, let's go a little bit heavier at some of these other spots because they're more unknown spots, especially like at safety and in the defensive back room. I mean, if we're looking at 11, 12 guys between those two positions, you have to find places to offset that elsewhere on the roster. And Sal, we haven't seen anything on Zach Davidson yet. So if they end up keeping four tight ends, that's another spot where you're going to have to offset that somewhere else.
Maybe Quentin Morris is one of these guys that's a candidate for the, you know, IR designated to return. Maybe it's three plus that. Maybe it's four because they want to run more 12 personnel. You make a great point on Lyle Collins, Matt, because I'm looking at the roster. If you say, we know who the starting five is, Dawkins and Brown at tackle, McGovern at center, Torrance and Edwards at guard. We know Ryan Vandermark's a swing tackle, and Alec Anderson is your swing guard or interior. Cedric Van Pran Granger is only playing center. So Tylan Grable is only playing tackle. Where's your other guard coming from? You're right. I mean, can you go in the season with just Alec Anderson really as your only backup guard? That may open the door for Collins or maybe even Will Clapp, who did have, you know, the concussion, but he was working as a backup center even before Cedric Van Pran Granger. He also has guard flexibility.
Yeah, I think Clapp's, you know, his little stint in the concussion protocol maybe muddied the waters a little bit in terms of what they can do there. I still think, though, if you look at Collins, for the majority of this summer, he was working on that second team. And, you know, he played in that last game. I think that was another opportunity for them to get some snaps of him on film. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Grable can play a little bit on the inside. We saw him work in at guard. But it goes back to that original point. Is like, is he ready for a real role if you really need him? And we've seen it in the past. Like, last year, they were unbelievably healthy. But in years prior, when they've had to go, like, two, three guys into their depth, now you're talking about, like, who do you have in those spots? You you know, had they played meaningful snaps? Because you got to remember, too, in pass protection, you got Josh Allen back there. You can't take really any chances. And if they're happy enough with what they've seen from college, especially at, like, left guard, I think you like that. David Edwards, you know, that's another interesting side topic. He's the one new piece of this offensive line and obviously had a lot of success in L.A. He played that jumbo role for them last year. Aaron Cromer, super high on him, and he might be really, really good, but what if he's not? Like, what if you get into the first two or three games and you need another answer at left guard? That's where Collins kind of looked the best this summer. So a lot to kind of take in as we kind of see all these moving pieces here over the next couple of hours.
Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. All right, Joe Andreessen, obviously a big storyline last couple of weeks. As we move forward here, we have had a couple of linebackers released. Maybe a bit of a surprise for some people with Deion Jones. I didn't think he was really going to make it. Shane Simon's been released. That leaves Bernard Williams, Moro Ulofosio, Andreessen, and Baylen Spector. I've speculated that Baylen Spector is an IR designated return candidate, which gets you to Joe Andreessen on the roster. What do you feel about Buffalo Joe's chances?
That's exactly how I had it on my 53 too. Great minds think alike, Sal. I think Spector is a guy that if you can, like if it's not Quentin Morris who gets that other designation to return, you know, you obviously want Matt Milano to be one of those guys. I think Spector makes a lot of sense, but I'd almost, when do you reach a point with a player where you just say, this is who he is? And I've been so high on Spector. Every time he's healthy, gets an opportunity to play first, second, third team. I mean, he was in the competition early on last summer for the middle linebacker spot with Bernard and Dotson. And he's looked great when he's been able to play and he's been healthy. But every single year, this is the third straight year where he's been banged up with injuries. He was banged up in the spring. Then he gets this this issue in the summer. And now you're just having to ask yourself, is this something that every time we get down the road with this guy, is it going to be something that, you know, bites us? Because if you have him as a depth guy, and Dorian Williams gets hurt, and you got all of these young players, and then Nick Morrow, who obviously played some important snaps for the Eagles last year when they got banged up, but he's also been banged up. Can you trust Baylen Spector to play injury-free for an extended period of time? He's never proven to be able to do that. So I guess I'm more asking, I think the IR route makes a lot of sense, but I think also if you're Brandon Bean, you have to ask yourself a hard question. Have we just learned who this guy is? Unfortunately, his body's just not able to hold up.
So someone just pointed out to me, Alec, thank you. Alec tweeted in, look at Lyle Collins' Instagram story. Matt, I know you do this. You look at these guys' social media. I'm looking at it now. It says, Buffalo, thank you, with a heart, hashtag the marathon continues. I don't know how to take that, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, that if he's saying thank you, you're right. That could be either two things, like thank you for keeping me in the NFL. I mean, this is the guy that was on the
right
practice squad for the Cowboys last year, or it could be thank you for a great summer. On to the next.
The marathon continues. Does he mean the marathon staying with the team or the marathon of trying to find another team? I don't know.
I know. Everybody's kind of furiously working on this.
I'll let you do that. You tell me if you figure anything out, okay? I'll let you do that while I host the show today, and you can tell me, hey, I got it. I know you can probably figure that out better than I can. What does it mean? Buffalo, thank you. The marathon continues. By the way, thank you, Alec, for pointing that out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, the other area I wanted to get to you, we talk about linebacker, is DB. And look, Daquan Hardy, to me, has made the team. He is a return man. I said earlier, I think Jamarcus Ingram's pushing for number three cornerback with Kyer Elam. And if you're keeping Daquan Hardy and, by the way, training him on the outside, which is really interesting, what does it mean for Kyer Elam's career? I'm not suggesting they would move on from him as a cut candidate. Are we sure that maybe Kyer Elam wouldn't be a guy that they might want to just see if there's anything out there for him because they kind of like the way Daquan Hardy and Jamarcus Ingram have developed?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, and if you've seen enough and you don't think that Kyer Elam is going to be effective in the scheme, then how much do you want to continue down this road where his, you know, maybe the trade value dwindles if he comes out there? Now, I've always argued that he's been a lot better when he's gone into the games than I think a lot of people talk about, but, you know, I think the Hardy development is an important one. He's almost got the reverse Cam Lewis timeline going on. Like, he started in the spring, early summer in the slot, and then we saw him start to work on the boundary over the course of training camp and then into the preseason. Cam Lewis came in, if you remember, he was working primarily on the boundary, and then they started to see how quick he was, and they moved him on to the inside and then eventually over out to safety. I think a part of it is they just like guys being able to play multiple positions so that you add a ton of value, because, you know, they've had spots before at the cornerback position where they're getting down to their third, fourth, fifth guy. I mean, Dane Jackson, that's why he was such an important piece to them for so long, is because it felt like every single season he was in a depth role, but he got in and was starting games for them before very long. So that's a position, you know, both for Sewell Douglas and Christian Benford got banged up last year. I wonder if it's maybe not even Kyer Elam specific. It's just like, we got to be able to go four, five, maybe even six deep because of what we've dealt with in the past. And then obviously what happened at linebacker last year, Sal, like, we don't talk maybe enough about that, in that at the end of the season, you had Milano out, you had Bernard out, you had Dotson hurting. I mean, it was a really rough spot by the time they played in that Kansas City game, guys either out or playing hurt. That could happen in any position, and we've seen some guys get banged up in that cornerback room.
Yeah, and just so fans know, too, and you brought up Matt Milano, is a really interesting case, right? Because you don't have to designate Milano to return right now. You can put him on IR. You can have him on the 53, put him on IR, and then later in the year designate him. But then you're eating up a 53-man spot. But if they're not sure, Matt, if they're not sure Matt Milano's going to play this year, like, maybe that's the case. I don't know if they want to slap that designated return tag on him now, eat one of them up. But if the problem with that is, then you got to carry him on the 53 and don't get that extra guy. This is a tough spot for them, maybe.
Yeah, and I think even if there's any percentage of a chance that he returns, I think you want to probably use that.
Yeah.
That spot, that designated spot for him, only because just think about the juice that potentially gives their defense if he's able to come back, or even the hope of it. Like, remember when, you know, Von Miller was working his way back, you know, I think early last season, there was like a palpable buzz. Now he got back and nothing went well over the course of the next 14 or 15 weeks for him specifically. But I think the chance to get Milano back is a huge deal. And I don't think you want to, they don't have the luxury of just pulling him through on the 53-man roster because of all these other guys they got to keep.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing about it would be, too, you might not get to eight guys anyway throughout the year that you have to bring back, right? I mean, that's a lot anyway. And you might say, like, we'll live with it if we have to do that. We can do some other, you know, roster maneuvering. Real quick, before I let you go, backup quarterback's an interesting spot. I guess the way I see this playing out is you keep Trubisky on the 53. DiNucci or whoever, it's going to be DiNucci, goes to your practice squad, and you just elevate him for week one or weeks one and two until Trubisky's ready. But you don't have to put Trubisky in IR and miss 4 weeks. You could just kind of play a little roster maneuvering here and get you through a couple weeks.
For sure. And, I mean, there could be a bunch of different things that end up happening. I mean, some guys across the league to get cut that maybe the Bills want to take a look at. I know Mike White was a guy that was out there. I don't know if he's heading back to their practice squad or what the reporting has been on him. But there's always going to be a couple of interesting guys. And now DiNucci's been in the system long enough to where I say long enough, what's it been, like 2 weeks? You know, where at least he has some type of basis here to, you know, be able to get in the room and game plan over the next 2 weeks. You at least not have a guy that could go out there and to a degree know what you're trying to do. But I'm in the other camp, Sal. Like, I mean, I think backup quarterback we make a little bit too much of it. And no matter what happens, if Josh Allen isn't available, sure, you want to try to get somebody out there that could get you through a game, that could put you in a position to win and maybe not lose a game for you. But the balancing act between, or like I should say, the distance between a Mitch Trubisky and a Ben DiNucci, I don't think it's as nearly as far as the distance from Mitch Trubisky to Josh Allen. So in the end, you know, just get somebody out there that's not going to turn the ball over, and whoever that ends up being, you're going to have to roll with them.
What do you and Ryan got going on here on the Shout Podcast rolling through today and tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have a show later today. Obviously, Brandon Bean talks tomorrow. We'll kind of get some more insight into everything that's occurred today. We'll have you covered with, I think we all got those draft or those cut trackers up at the website. It'll be a busy couple days here, and then we'll get our last free weekend before the grind truly begins.
I mean, come on. I know your life, and you know my life. Do we ever really have a free weekend? Ever?
No. Never.
I know, right? Well, listen, we'll stay in touch on whatever happens with Lyle Collins. If you hear anything, you let me know. That Instagram story, I'm very curious now. Mike Shope texted and said, I would guess that means he's gone. I'm like, I think so too, right? I mean,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Don't put thank you because you're staying. I think, but I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Matt Parrino, at Matt Parrino on X. And, of course, the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll stay in touch.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Parrino on the Western Hotline. We'll come back. Jeff, stay with me. I'll get to your question in just a moment. We'll take a timeout here. We'll get to Evan Lazar at the top of the hour in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's get to the phones because Jeff's been waiting patiently, and I appreciate that. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Hope you're doing well. First, real quick, just want to give a shout-out to Matt Parrino. Grew up with him in the Fawn Meadows, so I just want to say hi to him. To
all
people.
Right, you got it. There you go.
But the point and question here, I called a little while back to basically say, hey, let's all just collectively pump the brakes on Joe Brady's offense coming in mid-season and the way that the offense seemed to be running, you know, didn't have time to install mid-season his you know, plan. And now with a full off-season mm-hmm. and training camp, I'm sure you've seen more of it, obviously, than the most of us have. But one of the things that I've noticed is that there's still a lot of screen passes, swing passes, things like that. And I don't know if that's more of just his, you know, style or if it's based on the personnel that he has available to him with the receivers that we have. But I guess the question is do you see that being the case? Obviously, they're not, you know, showing their full hand in the preseason, but I'm just worried that if that's kind of the case, the dink and dunk style, that Josh Allen is going to get frustrated throughout the season because he always wants to uncork one, you know, at a certain point. You know, is he going to get frustrated with that and then just start running over linebackers and putting himself in danger? So that's kind of I was looking for and just wanted your 2 cents on it.
Yeah, so I do think it's going to be a lot of the offense. They're going to do that a lot. But, I mean, I think where you're looking as a negative dink and dunk and Josh getting frustrated. Look, I go back to the owners' meetings, Jeff, when Sean McDermott sat there and said, you know, you have to be able to get the ball down the field, even like in this day and age, the way teams are playing. It's really more about, to me, Jeff, the way defenses are playing offenses. Okay. You just can't fire the ball downfield anymore in the NFL. You just can't. You have to figure out a way to get the ball into your playmaker's hands, and they could make 5-6 yards at a time. And I think the Bills are going to try and do that. And look, I think Josh Allen's going to be a part of that. I don't think they're doing it without Josh's, you know, kind of signing off on it, I guess you'd say, because what has Joe Brady always said? This isn't my offense, it's Josh Allen's offense. You know, he's going to do things that Josh feels. Now, will there be times, Jeff, where Josh Allen says, I need to let one go? Yes, we're going to see that because that's just how he plays. But yes, I think it's going to be a big part of their offense. I think it's a big reason why Curtis Samuel's here. It's a big reason why Khalil Shakir is going to be heavily involved. It's a big reason why James Cook is involved. And of course, Dalton Kincaid. I think you're going to see a lot of that. It doesn't mean they can't throw the ball downfield. But, Jeff, to me, it's because of how defenses are playing offenses and the response around the league, by the way, from offenses saying, this is how we have to do things because teams aren't letting us go over the top anymore.
Reactionary, of course. Yeah. No, okay, that makes sense.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for holding through as well. All right, we'll come back. Evan Lazar on the other side. He covers the Patriots, and he'll give us the scoop on what's happening in New England after last game against the Commanders. Drake May looked pretty good. Is he in line now to actually start week one after limited opportunities in the preseason? But an injury now to Jacoby Brissett. We'll get with him. We'll talk about the Patriots roster, but also the NFL. CeeDee Lamb signs that monster extension with the Dallas Cowboys. And of course, a lot of other moves happening around the NFL. We're on top of it for you today at WGR550.com as well. We have a cuts tracker that Josh has graciously put up. So check it out, WGR550.com. It's a Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
is a tough day for a lot of players around the NFL who may never wear an NFL uniform again, right? I mean, that's really the reality of the business. It stinks from that perspective. It is part of the business, though. Teams have to be down to 53 players by 4 p.m. today. Now, just the mechanics of it so everybody's aware. Every team has to file all of their transactions by 4 p.m. today with the league to get down to 53 under the salary cap, all of that. We may not know, though, what officially they've done. We'll get reports as we're getting now. This person reporting this person reporting that. That player put it on their Instagram story. Whatever. We'll get that. But the Bills last year did not even put out their official transaction list on this day until 6 p.m. So we might not get that. Just so everybody's aware, you don't have to announce everything by 4 p.m. You just have to have it filed with the league, and then at some point after that, you can release it. I mean, heck, they can do it at 11 o'clock this morning, or we're past that, 12 noon if they want, if it's all finalized. I don't expect that. What I do expect, though, is a good conversation with our guy, Evan Lazar, because he always brings it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can follow Evan on X at EZ Lazar. He is a senior reporter and host of Patriots Catch 22 at Patriots.com. Evan, first of all, good morning. I always appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
I always appreciate you having me, Sal. How are we doing?
Doing pretty well. I want to start with a news that just came over from the Patriots a little while ago. Bailey Zappe has been released. What does this mean for Bailey Zappe and the quarterback room, which obviously I want to get to with everything that happened this weekend, but tell us a little bit about Bailey Zappe and his situation, especially after he was kind of a darling of Patriots fans a couple years ago.
Oh, God, we've come a long way since then, Sal. I think the biggest thing with Bailey Zappe is that there wasn't really a role for him on this football team. I always put the quarterbacks that are probably going to be on their roster in three buckets. You have Jacoby Brissett, who is the mentor, bridge quarterback of this whole thing. You have Drake May, who is obviously the future. And then you have Joe Milton, who is this lottery ticket, right? You know, sixth-round pick that has all these physical tools and has some potential that they just want to take a flyer on and see what happens. That didn't really leave Bailey Zappe with much of a role on this team. I also think there is a little bit of an angle of him representing an era of Patriots quarterback play with himself and Mac Jones that a lot of Patriots fans would probably like to forget. So there's an element of that as well. But I do believe that Bailey Zappe has potential to be a backup quarterback for another team this season. He had a decent summer. He's won games in the league, and his spot starts with the Patriots. So I don't think that he's not an NFL quarterback, you know, obviously backup, not a starter, but I don't think that here was the right place for him moving forward.
All right, so what does it look like at the top end of that depth chart? Because we had an injury to Jacoby Brissett this past weekend. Drake May has looked good, but they also kind of limited a lot of his reps. It didn't seem like that's the plan for him to play right away. Where does this put the entire Patriots quarterback situation?
They're in a massive pickle right now with the quarterback. And the big reason why is that since really that Philadelphia preseason game last week, Drake May has just flipped the switch. I mean, he just looks like a different guy than what he did early on in camp. He looks more decisive. He looks more confident. His footwork has vastly improved over time. And it's obvious to everybody that's watching these games and these practices who is the more talented quarterback of the two, which is not surprising, obviously, but that's where we're at. And now the Patriots need to make a tough decision because I do believe that Jacoby Brissett would be able to play against the Bengals in week one. I know you mentioned the shoulder injury. I think he's all right and he'd be able to play. But they need to make the tough decision about whether or not they are ready to support Drake May more than anything at this point. If this was a normal situation, like what's going on in Chicago right now, for example, where they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Rome Odunze and all these weapons for Caleb Williams, there would be no question in anybody's mind who the week one starter was, and that would be the rookie. But the Patriots have a lot of rebuilding to do in other areas of the roster, especially along the offensive line. And there's just question marks now about whether or not it's best for the long-term development of Drake May to put him out there in this kind of environment behind a line that's going to be shaky. So this is more about, do they feel like the team is ready for Drake May? Because Drake May has certainly made a very, very difficult decision for Jerod Mayo.
Are they confident enough in the offensive line surrounding a rookie quarterback, if that's something you have to consider?
Well, it's funny because we talked to Elliot Wolf, the Patriots' new de facto general manager. It's not his exact title, but it's the easiest way to label him. And he said that he liked the group on the offensive line, and it did feel a little bit disingenuous. I'm not going to lie to you, Sal, because we all were watching it in practice and in games in the preseason so far, being like, this line has got some issues. And then Jerod Mayo just flat out said it after the game on Sunday night against the Commanders that there's concern in the building for the offensive line, it, mainly at left tackle. They really don't have a proven NFL left tackle. They are right now rolling with Mike Onwenu playing right tackle, which is not his natural position. He's a guard naturally, but they don't really have any other options, and he's the best one that they have on the roster. So it's dicey at best at both tackle spots, I would say, right now. And they're really hoping that their third-round pick, Caden Wallace, can emerge as a right tackle option here down the line. But as of right now, the offensive line is the absolute biggest area of concern with this team, and I don't think it's even close.
How about at wide receiver as we stay on the offensive side? Juju Smith-Schuster was released. He has since re-signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. It feels like a youth movement there. I know Tyquan Thornton, a couple years in now. Jalen Polk, they drafted. Javon Baker, they drafted. A lot of people like him. KJ Osborne spent time here at the University of Buffalo before going to the University of Miami. What can you tell us about that group and how they want to bring them along?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about the Patriots at wide receiver. I do believe that they have improved the room from years past, recent years past. As you know, Sal, they've had one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL for the last couple seasons. And maybe it's just the optimist in me, or maybe I'm being naive because it's younger players. So there's this appeal of the unknown, right? Like Jalen Polk could be a really, really good player. We don't know yet. So it feels better than having Juju Smith-Schuster take those reps when we know that Juju Smith-Schuster is over the hill at this point. And I don't really think there's much left in the tank. Same thing with Devontae Parker last year, you know, just another guy that ends up retiring, you know, with the Eagles when the Patriots traded him. So it's basically Parker and Juju out and Baker and Polk in. And that does feel a little bit more optimistic that this talent level of the room can improve. I do think Jalen Polk is going to play right away and have a role on this team on day one. He's looked good in the preseason so far, you know, some rookie mistakes here and there, but clearly one of their better possession receivers on the team. Pop Douglas is going to be a big time contributor for this team. He's probably the one guy that brings that sort of explosive element, or a guy that moves a little bit differently than other people on the field. And then the third guy will be some sort of combination of the vets that they have. Tyquan Thornton, KJ Osborne, you mentioned Kendrick Bourne when he returns from PUP. Those guys will be the third guy in for most likely for the majority of the season. So it's not, they still have a bottom tier room, I would say, in the NFL, but there's a little bit more upside there. And then you hope that some of these guys that they drafted recently, Douglas, Polk, Baker, can emerge. And then next offseason, you go after the big fish. And that's sort of the Stephon Diggs move, you know, for the Patriots in the year or two, like what Buffalo did for Josh Allen.
And Kendrick Bourne, everything's going well with him. He's just not quite ready to be a contributor yet.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trending in the right direction. You know, he got injured in Miami last year, right around Halloween. So he's really not 100% yet in terms of that knee towards ACL down in Miami last year. But they're optimistic that he's going to contribute this year. And he was on pace to have a career year before the injury last year, even in that what really kind of dumpster fire of an offense. He was the one guy that was kind of refreshing along with Douglas. So hopefully they'll get him back at some point. And he's kind of a number two receiver, like a lot of these guys' ceilings are, but he's still a pretty good one. So they could definitely use him.
Evan Lazar on the Western Hotline. All right, Evan, let's get to the defense. Let me start with asking you if you thought that it would ever get to where it did with Matthew Judon, and how did it ultimately get there?
I did think it would get here with Matthew Judon because he went through this last offseason and last training camp with the team where he had to hold in and he was unhappy with his contract and didn't feel like he was getting paid market value. And some people always say that you signed the deal, you got to honor the deal that you signed, but he signed the deal for around $14.5 million with the Patriots, and then he became a top 10 pass rusher in the NFL over the life of the contract, and he just wasn't making that, you know, $18 to $20 million figure that the rest of the league is trending towards right now. So you kind of felt like something had to give with the contract again this time around. He wasn't going to play for $6.5 million in base salary with the Patriots this year. So I actually thought that they dragged this out even a little bit longer than it needed to be dragged out. And we saw some of those things in training camp where, you know, he's making a scene a little bit with Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf. They had some sort of argument or disagreement, and then he leaves practice. And there's just a lot going on with that situation that probably could have been avoided if they had either reached an agreement, obviously, or even traded him sooner, like back in March or April before the draft. So I was a little bit surprised that it took so long, and I wasn't surprised that he's not on the team moving forward.
Can you update us on Christian Barmore? It's really unfortunate, obviously. He's a fantastic football player, and now not available for the Patriots due to the medical issue.
Yeah, so he came down with blood clots actually he practiced for a couple days, about one or two practices, and then he was out for the third practice. Everybody said it was an illness. That's what the report was, and then the Patriots released an official statement that he had been diagnosed with blood clots and was getting treated for it at Mass General here in Boston. So he's still out indefinitely. There's really no update or timetable. Doesn't feel like they're putting much stress on a timetable right now, just trying to get him healthy off the field and then see what happens. But because he did practice, he's going to have to be put on injured reserve here today, probably. But there is a chance that they could use one of those new spots to designate him to return later on in the season if he can get cleared medically. But we actually do have a comp here with David Andrews, who was diagnosed with blood clots and missed the entire 2019 season as a result of that. So based off the comps in the past, it seems pretty unlikely that Barmore will be able to play football this year, but they did catch it pretty early on, it sounds like. And so that is good news. Whereas with Andrews, it was a couple weeks into camp before they realized what was wrong.
So on the field, 2 months ago, you have Barmore, you have Judon. That's not the case anymore. How does it impact the defense? What do you expect from that group? And how does this all kind of piece together after those guys? We know that they're not going to be on the team or playing, at least in Barmore's case.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's something that we've talked about a ton here, is that now all of a sudden they lack those one-on-one winners in the pass rush up front. And I think with those guys too, what was even maybe more valuable about them is that they could play in all situations. So they weren't these role specific players that on first and second down, you put the big guys, run stuffers out there. Then on third down, you bring your pass rushers on the field. So they could play in all situations, which made the Patriots a little bit more malleable to what teams were doing against them offensively. And now they're going to be in a situation where guys are going to be more put into roles that are situational roles. So you worry about first down, you worry about pass rush now, right? Like if teams come out and throw the ball a bunch against the Patriots on first down, well, they're going to have guys like Devon Godshaw and Jeremiah Farms and Anthony Jennings and those types of players that are not necessarily known for getting after the quarterback. And then on third down, now all of a sudden you're going to have be lighter and, you know, try to get those pass rushers on the field, and now you're not going to be quite as good against the run. So those are the difficult parts when you have those players that are like Barmore and Judon, who are rare players that can play in all situations on an every down. That's what makes them so valuable to the team. So Gerard Mayo and DeMarcus Covington, their defensive coordinator, have talked a lot about scheming up pressure and using stunts and blitzes and different looks and things like that to try to get after the quarterback to make up for the losses of those two guys. So that's what I expect them to do. And now all of a sudden the secondary kind of becomes the strength of the defense, mm-hmm. right? Christian Gonzalez, Jonathan Jones, Kyle Duggar, Jabril Peppers. They feel pretty good about that group. So they'll probably lean a little bit more on less coverage in the back end and more pressure up front than maybe they were planning on doing. And we'll see if they can hold up in the back end.
Bills and Patriots don't even play until week 16, and then it's two out of the last three, right? 16 and 18. And I'm just wondering what they're going to be at that point. Like, if the Bills are in a playoff race, do you get a Patriots team that's just in evaluation mode? Or does Drake May hit, and all of a sudden they're kind of ascending, and they think that, hey, we still have a look at this thing. What's a good spot for them? What's a good season for them late in the season?
I would say that in this season, and as much as I wish I could sit here and say that they're going to be the Houston Texans of the NFL this year and be a playoff team, it seems extremely unrealistic. So this season to me is all about how it looks, right? It's going to be more of like an eye test and a feel thing, not necessarily looking at wins and losses if their younger players, especially Drake May, are trending in the right direction by the end of the season. So they could be a 4-win football team like they were last year. But if you come out of the end of the season saying they have a quarterback and they feel really good about Drake May, then it's almost a good season in some ways for the Patriots. And I know around here that that's really unpopular because we're all about championships and winning in Boston, but that's the realistic outlook of where they're at right now. So I look at those last two games against Buffalo, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but if he goes toe-to-toe with Josh Allen and puts up 30 points against the Bills, and they're, you know, even if they lose the game 33-30, you're going to come out of that game saying, well, we have a quarterback that can actually outscore the Bills and Josh Allen. That's pretty good. You know, we feel pretty good about that. So that's where the Patriots are at right now, and I definitely look at those last two games against Buffalo as good measuring stick games for Drake May. He should have played a bit at that point. He'll have some starts under his belt, and he can see if you know, he can go up against Josh Allen and a great quarterback and go toe-to-toe. And I think a lot of people also around here kind of look at Drake May in a similar light as Josh Allen in terms of the skill set and the tools. So hopefully it goes the same way. I can't be that optimistic yet, but hopefully it does, and that's definitely what we're looking at with those last two games.
It is kind of funny. For 20 years, we lived that existence of, hey, if they win five games, but if they find a quarterback, we're okay, right? It's kind of weird, whereas you had Brady for 20 years, and it never mattered in that. It's so amazing, you know, the reversal and flip of script here. But look, I mean, Jerod Mayo, Elliott Wolf, they're doing things way differently than Bill Belichick. And we talked about this when Belichick was kind of transitioning out. Have the reviews been good? Are fans... Where are they comfort-wise with what this organization's doing and how they're trying to build the roster now?
It's definitely something that Bill had so much equity built up over the years that he could make some decisions, and obviously a lot of those decisions towards the end ended up backfiring, but he could make some of these decisions, whether it was the roster or it was game plan, whatever, and you would just say, well, it's Bill Belichick. He's the greatest head coach of all time. You know, he had his reasons, right? And people could justify it that way constantly. Now with Jerod Mayo, it feels like everything is getting second-guessed because he doesn't have that built-up equity yet. So I'll give you an example. The Patriots did not really play Drake May very much against the Carolina Panthers in their preseason opener. He played, I believe it was six snaps in that game. And you have this raw, developmental, young quarterback that everybody's clamoring to see, and he doesn't play, barely, you know, one series, two series in the game. And that took, you know, Jerod Mayo took a lot of heat for that. He took a lot of criticism for, why wouldn't you want this guy to get live game reps? You know, he's this raw talent. He needs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Reps. I'll give you another example. The other night, on after the game on Sunday night, he comes out and he says Drake May is the second-best quarterback on the Patriots, insinuating that Jacoby Brissett is ahead of him still. Monday morning, he comes out and says that Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett in the preseason. So which one is it, right? Mm-hmm. Is he the second-best quarterback, or is he not? Is he outplaying Jacoby Brissett? So these little things, I would say it's almost like more like messaging and then like big-picture coaching than it is, like, you know, these people critiquing his practices or whatever the case may be. The way he's handled the media has drawn some criticism. Maybe a little bit too transparent, right? Like trying to be so anti-Belichick that he's almost giving out too much information without a filter. And then I would say the decision of how to develop Drake May in terms of reps has been questioned here. You know, why not more first team reps? Why not more preseason reps? Those things are definitely questions that he's had to answer for.
Who do you like better in the East, the Jets or the Dolphins?
I like the Dolphins, Sal, because I just, with the Jets, I know they got a ton of talent on that roster, but in my lifetime, the Jets have never been very good. Right? And I know the same could probably have been said for Buffalo at one point, but you know, until the Jets actually go out there and Rodgers actually strings some games together and they're actually winning, I just can't buy into that actually working out. Like, that could go both ways still, in my mind. We just don't know yet, so... I still like the Dolphins. You know, I'm not necessarily picking them to be a Super Bowl team or anything like that, but I think their consistency over the last couple of years has been proven, and they've shown that they can win games in the regular season. So until the Jets go out there and win some games, I'm not fully bought into that just yet.
All right, last thing before I let you go. We've been waiting for the downfall of the Boston Bruins here for years. Is there any chance at all that happens now? Playoff failures notwithstanding, I get it, but they're one of the top teams in the NHL every year. What's the outlook this year?
It looks pretty good. You know, they'd spent some money in free agency. They had some money to spend. They kind of reset the books last year after trying to go all in on the team that set the regular season points record the year before. And they've really upgraded, I think, on defense, and then especially with the signing of Elias Lindholm. They needed that top center, right? They lost Bergeron. Mm-hmm. He retires. David Krejci retires. So they didn't have a ton of center depth last year. So Lindholm is the big ticket item, and he comes in and he's going to probably be their first line center, you know, Pastrnak and Marshy on the line with him most likely. And that makes them a little bit more top heavy again, which is good. And then they still have Jeremy Swayman in net, and he needs a contract extension. That's the big topic with the Bruins right now, is them getting that deal done. But he's going to be a Bruin, and they still feel really good about goaltending and what they have going on in net. So I still feel like that formula is there for them to be a pretty good regular season team. But it's the same thing with the Bruins. It's always about the playoffs and if they are actually got the playoff medal and toughness to go deep into the playoffs, because around here it feels a little bit like their ownership has invested in just making the playoffs. Like, that's the bar that they set. And every year they have good goaltending, they have a good system, they have good players, top-line scorers like Pastrnak, and that's always going to be enough for them to be a top-8 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're always going to make the playoffs with that being their foundation. The question is can they reach that next level?
We just want to make the playoffs once here in Buffalo, all right? It's been 13 years. The Bills and the New York Jets have the longest current North American professional playoff droughts in the four sports. How about that? Unbelievable.
I didn't know that. That's pretty crazy. But yeah, like I said, you know, they're just this team that has this foundation and has this system and has the goaltending that you're going to win enough games in the regular season by putting those things together. And then they get into the playoffs, and some of these teams, like, you know, Florida obviously has bounced them the last 2 years. They just have a little bit more top end talent and a little bit more grit. And the Bruins did try to add some size and some grit this year in free agency. So we'll see if it works out.
Evan, you're always so gracious with your time. Thank you so much. At Easy Lazar on Twitter. Great follow. And, of course, everything Patriots you need, but the league itself. I know the Bills and Patriots don't play until December, but I'm pretty sure you and I will chat again. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Evan Lazar. Really good stuff from him. He's always really good to have on the air. I always appreciate him. He's really dialed into the Patriots and really shoots it straight. So that's why I love having him on to talk about the New England Patriots. Okay, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, I need to tell you about my weekend. My Sunday and Monday was really cool, kind of different experience, that something that I got to do. And also, I got to just say a few words about Aaron Judge, because he's unbelievable. Did you see the catch yesterday? Holy cow, this guy's ridiculous. That and more moves around the NFL and with the Buffalo Bills. We'll come back here next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Speaking of Northtown Kia, I'm going to be there next week. Next week. I mean, we got week one coming up, folks. Next week, this show live from Northtown Kia on Thursday. That's September 5th. So 10 to 12, that's when this Extra Point show runs. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last, get some awesome WGR 550 swag, and enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, of course, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. That is next Thursday, September 5th, Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Gonna see you out there. Last night, I was driving back. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I was driving back from an event. Didn't really have a chance to watch the Yankees. I'm generally watching them. And then got home and saw, Aaron Judge did it again. And I'm thinking, another home run. No. This is what he did last night.
Seeing him in spring training, too. Seeing how big he was. Ooh, maybe that swing. Drives it in the air. Deep left center. Judge leaping. And he made the catch. Oh!
I mean, this guy is just ridiculous right now. Yes, I know. Here's Yankee fan Sal. If you can't recognize that, then you're just not paying attention. You don't want to. You're blinding yourself to it because you hate it so much. And you respect has to, you got to recognize and respect it, right? How great he is right now. It's unbelievable what he's doing. He is such a complete player. And he wasn't until a few years ago. I think he's fifth player ever to hit 50, or third player ever, whatever it is, at 50 home runs in three straight seasons. He didn't have 50 2 years ago. He had 37. I can't remember the stat I read about this, but maybe to have 350 home run seasons, that's what it was. 52, 62, 51 now. And there's still how many games to be played? There's still 20 games to be played. 30 games to be played, basically. And, I mean, he has a look at it. He has a look at the all-time record. I don't know if he'll get there. He has certainly a great look at his own record, which is the American League record of 62. He's got his on-base percentage leads the league, .465. Slugging leads the league, .732. On-base plus slugging, of course, .197 leads the league. Total bases, .339 leads the league. What's this one? Oh, intentionally walked 16 times leads the league. Home runs 51 leads the league. RBI 122 leads the league. And then he makes a catch like that. It's truly remarkable. Sometimes we just do not maybe sit in the moment and appreciate because maybe the player's on a team we don't like or we don't watch very often, whatever it is. I mean, just spend some time and think about and look at, if you get a chance, what Aaron Judge is doing right now. Dude's hitting .333 to go along with 51 homers. I saw yesterday, actually, he had his 1,000th career hit. Now, he's already 32, so he's not going to get to like 3,000. I can't see that happening. He'd have to play for another probably 10 years because he doesn't usually get 200 hits a year. He'd have to play more than that. So that's not going to happen. But what's wild is I read and heard, I should say, him and Mark McGwire are the only players ever in the history of baseball to have their 300th home run before their 1,000th hit. Just goes to show you how kind of a home run hitter he is. And now, just a complete game that he has. Insane. That catch yesterday was great. He's clearly the American League MVP. It'll be his second MVP. He finished a second in the MVP voting in 2017, 12th in 2018, 4th in 2021, finally won one in 2022, 15th last year after missing some time. He was on track to maybe win it, and he's going to be another MVP this year. He'll get his second in 3 years. So Aaron Judge, just incredible. So I did not see, and by the way, Yankees back with the best record in American League. Mm-hmm. 78-54. They have the second best record of baseball. 78-53 is the Dodgers. Are we on a Yankees-Dodgers collision course? That used to be the rivalry in baseball. There's a great documentary on that, and I saw it, a little bit of it. I haven't seen everything on it. Saw a little bit of it recently scrolling through the channels. Yankees-Dodgers. Go like watch about that rivalry. But we could be on a collision course. Suddenly, remember the Yankees had a really bad, like mid-June through mid-July, I think it was, right? Really bad, like worst record in baseball over a three-week stretch. And the Orioles just could not take advantage, and they should have. And the Orioles just were losing games when if they were winning games, they'd have this huge lead. Well, now, because the Orioles kind of haven't really put it together yet either, Yankees have a two-game lead in the American League East. So, we'll see if baseball ends end of this month. And, I'm not sorry, at the end of September. Sorry, at the end of September. We're not in September yet. And then it's October baseball. So, in playoffs. So, a lot of baseball still to be played. But Aaron Judge, incredible. So, last night, I told you I was driving, didn't watch the game, saw what Aaron Judge did. The reason I was driving back from, I was in Olean over a couple of day period. So I am always honored to be the MC for the Coaches versus Cancer 716 chapter here in Western New York. Now, Coaches versus Cancer was started many years ago. It's basically the college basketball world and coaches and head coaches in college basketball who raise awareness for fighting cancer and raising money. And there's all different things they do throughout the season. And one of them is in the off season here in Buffalo. And I don't know when it happens elsewhere, but usually in the off season, they have some sort of fundraiser here. It's a golf event. It's down at St. Bonaventure University. Mark Schmidt, head coach at Bona, is kind of the point man on that for the Coaches versus Cancer here, but Greg Paulus from Niagara, big part of it, you know, comes down. He was there at the dinner last night. Did not see George Halkovich for UB. He couldn't make it, but he was there last year. I know Jim Christian was just hired by Canisius. In the past, Reggie's been there, but you get it. It's all the college basketball people. And then there's this subset, if you will, of people who join from outside, which is major like college basketball coaches and people in media. Got to meet Frank Martin, who is now at UMass. He was at Kansas State, you know, South Carolina. Just really cool to kind of meet him and chat a little bit with him. Over the last couple of years, Phil Martelli was a keynote speaker. Woj went to Bonaventure, obviously. He's been there. They just have a lot of great people. And this year, the keynote speaker was Seth Greenberg of ESPN. He is maybe the now foremost analyst on ESPN now that kind of Dick Vitale's had, unfortunately, his medical issues and he's not on TV as much. Seth Greenberg, I think, on more than anybody now, talking about college basketball. He was a head coach at USF. He was a head coach at Virginia Tech. Does a great job. By the way, I did a little video cast with those guys, and you can catch it on my Sal Sports YouTube page, where you can always find Always Game Day in Buffalo as well. Matt Bove and I will be talking about the cuts tonight, so check all of it out. Talked about NIL. We talked about the changing landscape of college basketball. And the reason I bring this up is, so if you would have told me about a week ago that I would be like just hanging out having wings at a small bar/restaurant in Olean, New York called Third Base with Seth Greenberg, I would have been like, what are you talking about? That's what we did, though. It was really cool. Sunday, get down there. We have this reception. It's some hors d'oeuvres. Get to know everybody. And we leave, and I was staying at the same hotel as Seth. They got me a hotel. They're like, hey, you know, you want to take Coach Greenberg back and forth to the hotel? I'm like, yeah. So Coach is like, hey, I'm a little hungry. I want to go for some wings, so I'm searching. It's Sunday night in Olean. What are we going to do? Oh, There's this place called Third Base. I'd never been there. Let's go to this place, Third Base. So we drive to this place in Olean called Third Base. And I'm with Seth Greenberg of ESPN. And we walk in. And it's really cool, you know, old school type of bar feel. Walk in there. The menu's still going. The kitchen's still going. They have people at the bar. And, of course, I walk in. And right away, he's recognized. A couple of people recognize me from being Bills fans. It was really cool. He was kind of surprised that people came up and said, hey, Sal Capaccio from the radio. I was kind of surprised people came up and said, hey, Seth Greenberg from ESPN. Just because, you know, you don't know when you go where you're going to be recognized by people. Anyway, so we have wings. It was really great. And leave there. Go to the golf tournament yesterday. Play golf yesterday. And Coach has a very early flight this morning from Buffalo. So he's basically like, hey, you know, I want to leave as soon as the reception's over so I can get back to Buffalo tonight. This is last night. I'm like, Coach, I'm going back to Buffalo tonight. So last night, hour and a half drive in my car, Seth Greenberg in the front seat. And it was just awesome, man. Just talking college basketball, talking career, talking life with Seth Greenberg in the front seat of my car, driving from Olean to the Buffalo airport, essentially, where his hotel was. I got to tell you, though, man, like, again, I mean, I do a lot of things. I MC for Josh Allen's 117 holes of golf, right? And Micah Hyde's charity softball game. I'm the MC on the field for it. So I get a chance in my life. I'm very privileged. I'm very honored and very, you know, blessed to have these opportunities to be around people that, you know, in this sports world that I cover. I'm a big college basketball fan. And for me to be with Seth Greenberg like that and around Frank Martin, I'm like starstruck. And then to be able to have this hour and a half long conversation driving Coach Greenberg was just amazing. And we talked about everything. And the bottom line, the point was, like, we got into a lot of just life discussions. And it's a great reminder to me all the time that, you know, life is about relationships and helping people. And the amount of people that have so much respect for Coach Greenberg and help him, that he's helped along the way, and the people that knew him, the people we talked to last night. And then the reverse is true, too. Like, he does a lot of mentoring for a lot of different people. And then for me to meet him, and then he's like, you know, Sal, thanks for the ride. You ever need anything? And I'm like, thanks, Coach. And, you know, let's hook up. We'll do something on a podcast sometime. Same thing with Frank Martin. I got a chance to, you know, text, you know, Frank Martin this morning, say, thank you, Coach. It was great meeting you. Those relationships, right? Like, that's what it's about. To me, that's what it's about. It's about relationships and life. And this job, especially for me, is always about it. This job has opened up way more doors for me in my life than I could ever imagine and be forever grateful for and thankful for. But, you know, it's how you treat people. And those relationships matter. And we're all going to have ups and downs and days where we don't love our day. And we're all going to have times where we're frustrated with whatever's happening. You know, but you can go to, when you, I said this to Coach Greenberg last night. I said, but when you can lay your head down at night and you know that you're a good person and you treated people well, and you also have the support of people around you, that, you know, that's what matters. And it makes your life a lot better and easier. Not everybody has that all the time, right? I go a lot to these, I go speak at like colleges or high schools a lot of times to talk about my job. It's really cool. And I always tell kids who want to get in this business, there's a lot of aspects about the business. Okay, be versatile, you know, do whatever you can. But the number one thing I tell them is make relationships, be a resource for somebody, and don't be afraid to have other people be a resource for you. And the other thing I say is, and this is not the business part of it, but that goes for anything in life. This is number one for me in anything. Surround yourself with good people who support you and have your best interest in mind. There's a lot of people out there who don't, right? And you probably have people in your circle that you think about sometimes and say, I don't know if that person has my best interest in mind. Sure, they act like it. Do their actions speak that? You know? And that's tricky sometimes to figure out, right? I'm not trying to get super philosophical. I know I am a little bit here. But, and you know, a day like today cuts and cut down and the relationships. And man, it's always, people say it's the hardest day and they have to have these these relationships that they have to tell these people they can't no longer pursue their dream or they're not going to be on the team and all that. Those things matter, but you do it right. Somebody said, well, how do the Bills do it? And I know how the Bills do it. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean bring every single player into an office and talk to them about it and say, this is why we're releasing you. This is where we can work on. And hey, if there's anything we can do for you. And those things matter, right? It is a business. But it just reminded me yesterday, it reminded me of doing this whole Coaches versus Cancer that I do every year. It's for a great cause, and we're raising a lot of money. I think they raised like $100,000 this weekend, and Mark Schmidt and his wife Anita doing an amazing job down there. It just reminded me of those relationships and Coach Greenberg and spending that time with him and listening to his stories. He's 68 years old. He told me some phenomenal stories that I'll never be able to share maybe on the air, but I have them like banked, right? Just be a good person. Surround yourself with good people and be good to other people, right? I mean, that's what it's about. So thanks for listening to my philosophical talk. We'll come back after this time out on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show after Josh tells us about how, that's great timing, Josh. Josh hits the bell. What do we got? What do we got, Josh?
Wrong button there.
Oh, the Texans, wrong button.
The Texans are releasing wide receiver Noah Brown. But
okay.
Interesting, if you're looking for a Bills wide receiver look,
maybe
in Noah Brown. I just thought it was interesting because, you know, he had 567 receiving yards last season.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Bigger name.
Isaiah
released.
Hodgins out there. Allen Robinson out there. Noah Brown is out there. Mm-hmm. The Ayuk situation is unsettled right now. Interesting wide receiver. And I think it's the most interesting position for the Buffalo Bills. More on that when we come back in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Oh, thank you so much. Some of you have reached out, you know, via X after the last segment and some of the things that I just said. And thank you, Michael. Appreciate that from you. Thank you, Brian. Also, Dan. So anybody else? I mean, look, we're not perfect. I'm certainly not. And, you know, I have days too, right? I have days where it's like, poof. You know, you get to the end of the day, you're like, man, it was a tough one today. Or you just, you know, you're not feeling yourself and things can kind of get to you in different ways. But again, you know, hey, build relationships, surround yourself with good people that have your best interest in mind. I'm telling you, you know, just you'll feel better knowing that you're in a good spot in life with those people. And it's going to help you a lot. Anyway, I'm glad that it helped anybody to say that. Super cool, though, meeting Seth Greenberg and driving an hour and a half with him and hanging out with him and Frank Martin and the people I got to meet this weekend. That was very cool. And, of course, the Coaches versus Cancer event is always something I'm very happy to be a proud partner with. Now, I played golf yesterday. Josh, did you see the picture I posted of the people I played golf with?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where you gained 2 feet. You're 7 feet tall now?
I played golf with 2 7-foot dudes yesterday. One of them was Syracuse legend Roosevelt Bowie, and it was great playing with him. He was awesome. And the other one, his name is Sean Shiano, who played at Niagara. And they're 7 feet tall. And I posted a picture yesterday of me and my playing partner, my other guy that was with us. And we were both, you know, we're 5'9 dudes, right? I'm about average. You're a little taller. I mean, how tall are you? 6 foot?
6'1.
6'1. He's a pretty big dude. He's tall. So
this picture is it's so funny to look at.
It's so funny. 7 feet tall. The wild thing is watching them like putt with a putter bending down at 7 feet. Actually, you know what's so funny? You'll love this. So we're going to look for our ball every once in a while. Like, where's the ball? Oh, there's my ball. Let's go pick it up. Because we're scrambling. So you can pick each ball up and go. You know how you, like, you're on your cart and you drive and you just kind of try to swing by and you pick it up on the scoop? Well, Sean is so tall.
His arms.
I mean, he just like reaches down. I'm like, Sean, just swing by. He said, whoop. Doesn't even bend down.
I have to like lean out of the cart
yes,
when I do
I
it.
Know.
He probably just puts
his hand
down.
He just puts his hand down. There he goes, right? There
it's
goes.
Also funny in this picture, your drivers are the same length.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And
like
I
you
get,
watch
like,
these 7 feet tall dudes hit a golf club and they're, you know, they're super tall like that. It's really funny. So that happened. Here's another one. This is really odd. Last night, what time did this happen? I'm going to give you this time right now. This is last night, 10:28 p.m. Long day, just got home, drove coach to the airport, went home, relaxed a little bit, ready to go to bed. 10:28 p.m., I get a text. Random number, I have no idea who this is. It says, Rachel, what time are we going to take the boat out for a fishing trip tomorrow? Like, that's a little weird. I'm not going to respond because you don't know what's going on here, right? So I'm not going to respond. I look up the number. It comes from California. Okay. I just leave it. So as I'm on the Extra Point Show today, okay, 11:25 a.m., totally different number. Hi, Rachel. Shall we go fishing tomorrow?
I've had this happen to me before.
This is someone fishing for something else. That's what this
yes,
is.
Yes, because I had
they
this
They want
happen.
You to respond so that they can get you into a conversation to do something. This is what does he call it? That fishing, what's the other thing they call it? With the Manti Te'o got it. What was it?
Catfishing?
Catfishing,
that's,
right?
That's
yeah,
different.
Yeah.
Fishing
okay.
With a P-H,
no,
that's for stealing
right.
files and stuff.
Right, but they wrote, can we go fishing tomorrow with an F? But right, because I think they're actually fishing for that. They're
right.
fishing.
But catfishing
yes,
is like
okay.
a dating thing. That's completely
right.
different. But I've had this happen to me too, but it wasn't like worded very vaguely. It was like very specific to someone. Like it would make sense that someone would be texting me. I don't remember what they said, but then I responded and realized, oh no, like this is bad. And I blocked it,
right.
deleted it. Like,
so everything. I'm not going to respond to either text, but I got one last night from a number that says, it was just the weirdest thing, right? Hi, Rachel. What, read this again real quick. This was funny last night. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Rachel, what time are we going to take the boat out for a fishing trip tomorrow? And then today from a totally different number. Hi, Rachel. Shall we go fishing tomorrow? I don't like fishing. I'm just not a fishing guy. It's the one thing. I don't fish. It's a boring thing for me. I don't do it. But I'm going to block this number and not respond anyway because they're not going fishing with me tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow, though. Today, 4 p.m., cuts have to be into the league. We'll find out very shortly after that, I'm sure. I'll join Shope today. I think Bulldog is off. I'll be on with him. And then later tomorrow, back on tomorrow here at 10 a.m. on the Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.